Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast, one and all. Almost there. Baku is just around the corner.
We're almost Baku to Formula One action.
I was going to pat you on the back.
Yeah, no, it's not deserved. It's not deserved. I understand.
And we got strong shirt game from the two of us.
We really have today. What's going on?
I've gone with my nice little satin number.
Yeah, you're looking very, very fancy today, shining, I'm not going to lie.
Fancy gentleman.
The lights are going to be bouncing off that.
What's that vintage?
Yeah, we've got a little Serie A number right now. Shouts out my Genoa fans there. I think they got relegated last season, actually, to be honest.
Hell. F1 merch used to be banging, like the old chrome McLaren jackets from
the
early 2000s.
Yeah.
They popped.
The Ferrari one, that actually, the Ferrari one that you see now, the jacket and stuff, that's not actually, was that actually out at the time?
I don't know.
I remember someone tweeting
like
about
vintage,
it.
Yeah,
I was like, but it looks nice. So
the teams need to
care.
Jump on that themselves and actually do official quality merchandise.
Official retro merch, please. Jesus Christ.
Should we get the opinion of today's guest on the podcast?
We shall indeed, yes.
On the merchandise game. That's why we got you here. Tom Pabani, thank you very much. Is it Pabani?
You're the first person I think I've ever met.
Come on.
My first time.
Yeah. I should have checked
quality
before.
Name. That's feel like
good.
It's a
good flow to that name as well,
Pabani.
Actually. Tom Pabani.
Yeah, Scuderia Pabani.
Scuderia
Pabani. Pabani sounds crazy.
It's not
crazy.
Actually Italian. Indian.
I know.
It's crazy, but we'll say it's Italian because it sounds better for motor racing.
Fair enough.
Tom, thank you for coming. Appreciate you taking the time. And, before we get into the chats, why are you relevant in the F1 space? And I know you say you won't be, but you are.
This is a new format for me. I'm a short form kind of guy. Typically,
you're a 9x16 kind of guy.
I'm a 9x16 kind of guy. So cropping everything vertical format is a nightmare. But yeah, I like to talk like storyteller. I love going through the archives, talking about old things that have happened, getting new fans up to speed. And hopefully I can bring my washed opinions today. We've got a lot to talk about.
Well, we're going to find a lot to talk about. But check out Tom Pabani on TikTok.
Yeah,
give him a follow.
Second TikTok come in, Scuderia Pabani.
Yeah.
Scuderia Pabani.
That can't be taken. Someone that's you got a
second. Don't copyright that now.
Yes, sorry. No one take it. Yeah, it's copyrighted today.
How are we feeling, lads? We've had a bit of time off, but Baku's just around the corner. Are we excited?
Of course.
Yeah, Baku's just chaos in it as well.
Always.
That's the thing. Apart from that first Grand Prix, when we went there and it was shit, we were like, this is going to be terrible. And since then, it's been absolute just chaos.
Banger after banger. Whether it's good racing, whether it's tyres blowing out for no reason.
Yeah.
Like the things that have happened down the past few years, we've had Vettel and Hamilton go at it together.
Yeah.
Verstappen and Ricciardo.
Yeah.
We've had that, that championship year 2021 where everything just went downhill. Always lived up to it, well, recently anyway, and I feel like we're going to get that again with everything that's going on.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. We've got a sprint weekend as well.
The new format, which isn't
allegedly
yet confirmed.
Yeah,
but
no.
I mean, it's essentially
it's definitely
going to
happen like 6 minutes after we finish recording this episode.
Do you remember the format, Niren?
Jesus Christ! Right,
I want to mastermind test. Let's do it.
So here we go, lads. I want to say that it was like on the Friday we got free practice one.
Well done.
We start things off with that. That makes sense.
Strong
right?
start. Strong start.
That's
strong.
Where I'm finished, mate. That's the end.
Is sprint
save
quality?
Chest.
No, you know what? Yeah, okay. I'm gonna say it with my chest. I'll say it with my chest. Friday, FP1 and FP2. Saturday, sprint quali, and then sprint, and then the actual sprint.
Wrong.
Shit, man. So sprint quali on the Friday.
Fraud.
Long day,
I can't believe it.
You didn't look down the camera and actually say that.
I didn't say it with chase. Someone can edit that. It's fine.
Well, go on, Tom. You take
over. No, this could be bad. Okay.
You take
I've got FP1, qualifying for the race on Sunday, I believe. Saturday is a full sprint day. So we've got qualifying for the sprint in the morning. So no FP2, which I think is fantastic.
Yep,
probably
good shit, nice.
That.
Yeah.
Then we've got the sprint race in the evening and then race day on Sunday, which is...
Wavy.
So you've got to think of Saturday as its own separate event.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So we've got no FP2 anymore. Gas, love that.
Which I think some people found it a bit weird that you haven't qualified for the race...
Before qualifying for
on
the sprint.
On Friday. So you've got a whole day in between the qualifying and the race. But... Obviously, they want competitive running on every single day.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think from an entertainment perspective, I know a lot of people aren't happy with it. Christian Horner has come out and been very clear that he does not like it. And why would they? It puts their car in Jeopardy, right?
They don't change. Like, no, of course they're dominated at the minute. They're flying.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, Checo and Max alternate wins, I mean, it's going to be a Red Bull at the top of the tree. You've got to think for most of the races this year. So, yeah, why would he
start fiddling with stuff? And, yeah, it's going to make an impact.
But in these instances, you can't really, like, the teams are going to have their own agenda because, of course, they are. Like, they're entitled to. They're going to push their own perspective on it. And ultimately, I think versus what we had for the sprint format in the last two seasons, I think this is an improvement.
I think the great thing is like you're getting your money's worth as a fan that goes whatever day you absolutely go. Even if you go on a Friday, you're getting some competitive running. You're 100%. Getting qualifying on a Friday for the actual race. If you go on a Saturday and that's it, you're getting some sprint action, whatever. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, the race on Sunday. So whilst I know the sprint is quite a divisive topic amongst fans, at least the ones that are going are getting something every day. Do you know what I mean?
Well, how do you feel about the sprint, Tom? Because I know we were chatting earlier, you've been watching since, 2009? So you know F1 well before relatively, the sprint race days. Yeah. Mm. So, like, what do you make of the sprint generally?
It's really hard to just be, like, on one side of the fence or the other and be, like, really binary about it. I like them, but I think their formats, the type of races, circuits they're at, there's so many little intricacies that would make it better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like this is a step in the right direction for sure. Mm. Interesting putting it a street circuit, to be honest. I think that's not necessarily the best thing to do because of the jeopardy. But with this new format, I think for teams like, say, McLaren, where they are at the moment, it's going to be of benefit to them. I find it entertaining. Like, that's for sure.
Well, I think the risk putting it here, I think it's important to contextualize why that's a potentially a problem. It's not just that, you know, it's a street race, it's Baku, the chance of you putting it into a wall versus at Le Castellet, for example.
Fine margins.
Yeah, it's significantly higher. Charles has done it, I'm sure. Yeah. Classic moment. Like, we're going to get some of them, right? We get them every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is 5 of 6 weekends now coming up with an F1 race. So it's going to be back to back to back, break. Back to back.
Yeah.
So if you shunt, we saw obviously Alpine having a shocker in Australia, but at least they had 3 weeks to build up their allocation of parts. I know McLaren have talked about they're a bit concerned as well on parts because they've got their big upgrade coming. But if they have issues, if there's a big shunt for Oscar and Lando, for example, they could be in real hot water for the next few races.
Yeah, well, Leclerc's already had a penalty as well already this season.
I forgot about that.
So
it's actually mad.
That is mad. He had a penalty before the second Grand Prix of the season actually started. For a part
he's
that you
just
have
had
two of.
For the start of the season.
Yeah, it really has.
Compared to where
bad.
They were last year.
Yeah.
Just, like, astonishing to see the difference in the downfall. I mean, Red Bull have obviously taken it to the next level, but...
Yeah, but Ferrari have also just been, like, caught by Aston Martin Mercedes, realistically. Yeah. You've got this just a three-way scrap, isn't it, for second now?
Well, so I think that, for me, it's Ferrari and Mercedes have dropped the ball more than it is... Yes, obviously, Red Bull and Aston Martin have done bits, right? But the fact that Aston Martin have been able to... I mean, they're a year ahead already of their own plan to move up the field. But that's just positionally. And that's, I think, because Ferrari and Mercedes have dropped the bomb, which have not only allowed Aston Martin to at least catch up to them, but Red Bull to just walk off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is disappointing from a general kind of fan of the sport point of view. But... Also, getting to the top and staying at the top is something Red Bull have done for years. I know you've got a place in your heart.
I'm a Red Bull fan.
For Red Bull,
no,
right?
No, you're in zone, you just find us out now.
You're local, right?
I am Milton Keynes, literally. You're safe.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. I literally said the only thing you can associate that's good with Milton Keynes
is Red Bull,
The fact that I literally passed Red Bull powertrains on the train here is nuts. Yeah. But they're doing phenomenally well. But I think it's quite interesting that Dan Fallows, I know you've spoken about this before, has gone from Red Bull to Aston Martin. And what a job he's doing. It's absolutely crazy. That technical shakeup is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think people underestimate realistically like how much of an important... I mean, it's quite obvious, but like people don't talk about it or don't think about it too often. The actual makeup of the team behind the name is so important. And Aston Martin have done an unbelievable job of hiring.
Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you see Aston Martin at the start of last season.
Yeah.
They were the joint worst car with Williams.
They were so slow. It's like they had weights on the back of them. Just,
terrible. It was awful.
Yeah.
And they both had the same power unit. And you look at the trajectory, like Williams have jumped forward well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But the Aston Martin trajectory, they've not even moved into their new gaff yet. Like they're still renting.
Gaff.
They're still renting like the shed down
as if
the road.
Moving into a new house. like
it's a four bed. It's lovely.
But they've already done it, and it's just like I think it advocates like the personnel was so important.
Facts. Yeah.
And it's like you look at Mercedes, and they've just done the old switcheroo with James Allison moving back into the role that he previously had.
Yeah.
And then what's
Mike Elliott.
His name? Mike Elliott. That's it.
Yeah.
He's gone the other way in a shake up for Mercedes because. Yeah, I think this the Aston Martin success relative to the front and also the Red Bull pulling away has asked a lot of questions of two teams, Ferrari, Mercedes. I mean, Ferrari always have questions, let's be honest, but Mercedes haven't had questions for a long time and they've changed things up now. Mm-hmm. What do we think of, do we think that's the right move?
I think, look, there was a lot of criticism around Mercedes and their side pod concept and whether they would change things and stuff. And then lots of talk around Toto Wolff and whether this was the right decision. He's come out and made this managerial change, if you want to say it like that, and whether it's the right thing to do. Does it send the right message? But I think it's good. And apparently, from what I've heard, Mike Elliott was actually the one who brought this up. He had a technical meeting. He suggested this change. And, you know, Allison, he is a pioneer of the sport. Probably only Adrian Newey comes ahead of him when we're talking about
aerodynamics.
He's
right up there for sure,
he's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's had so much success. Renault was fantastic in those years with Alonso. So I think it's a good shakeup, but we're not going to see an immediate change. It's just not going to happen like that.
Yeah, you're not going to see anything this season.
Like. Yeah, he's already said, you know, apparently he's up to his neck in it already. So you can tell they've got so much work to do already. And I think Mercedes fans would agree with that. It's not going to make any difference towards this season, but maybe next year, that's where we'll see that be, you know, come into question. So it's going to be a tough one.
Well, I think because...
I'm back in a title race next season. Let's fucking have it.
Can you imagine?
I mean,
Alonso, V Verstappen,
Oh, give it to me now. That'd be insane.
That would actually be wicked.
Genuinely
ridiculous.
Makes me feel a certain
way.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, I want to, yes, Red Bull are on top at the minute comfortably, but I just want to be, I want to be patient with these regulations and I want to be patient with these teams because ultimately you can regulate to your heart's content, but it's up to the teams to make the right decisions, spend efficiently, get the right people.
Be competent.
Yeah. And look, I think the Allison thing, for example, in case people didn't know, I think there's more context to why Allison moved. You know, he was at Ferrari in 2016 and then his wife suddenly passed away and he decided to leave Ferrari, came back to the UK because he wanted to be closer to family. Join Mercedes. And then he kind of, you know, it got to a stage, I think, where he was feeling very overwhelmed by the job because it's when you're technical lead for an F1 team, that's an incredibly.
It's going through title battles every single season.
Yeah.
Manic.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to look at Mercedes and be like, oh, yeah, they just walked it like those years. No, but there's a reason that they look that good because they were working that hard and they were doing that well. And it's an all encompassing job. So he then decided to move to a more kind of top level, you know, 3 days a week, but then working on various different projects and more overseeing the, and then that's where Mike Elliott moved into his role as the more kind of technical lead on that specific car.
Yeah.
But again, it sounds like from that, he did an interview, didn't he, with F1 Nation, like a podcast, and it sounds like, you know, he's taken some time away from the high pressure environment and now seems, you know, happy and excited to come back. Which is the main thing, because ultimately,
good, man.
Right.
Sometimes you can burn out as well.
Exactly, like, they're
this
human.
Sport is non-stop.
I mean,
there's so many people that make up the technical makeup of the car and the company. Like, it's a business at the end of the day, and there's so many people that make up Formula One, and you've got to oversee all of that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and let's not forget that Allison was responsible for that 2020 Mercedes car that was just a rocket ship. I don't think we'll ever see a car that's faster than that. I mean, Red Bull is quick now, but that was just a menace. Mm-hmm. So for them to make that change, I think it says a lot about Mercedes as an organization, Toto, and the direction they want to move in. They are not happy. I mean, this is not a substantial drop off. Let's be clear. Lots of teams would be killing to be in third position.
Yeah.
But they want to do something. They want to do it quick. And I'm pretty scared as a Red Bull fan that they're going to come back sooner rather than later, I'll be honest.
Well, do we, because I know like Christian's talked numerous times this year about like his concerns that the other teams are going to catch up because obviously they've got a lot less aero CFD time relative, particularly to Aston Martin, who've got like not far off double what Red Bull have got.
Yeah, that difference is going to be crazy.
Until the end of June anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to believe it, and I understand why Christian's putting that energy out there because, like, that's what he needs to be prepared for as team principal. He needs to be prepared for everyone to catch up because you need to, you know, prepare for the worst case scenario. But Do we actually think that's going to happen? Like, we have only had three races and we've had this big break. So,
I mean, you got teams bringing like big upgrades upcoming as well. You got McLaren deciding to bring a whole new car.
They need to at this point.
They really do, mate, honestly. I saw it in the car park at Buckmore for Quadrant filming. It looked a lot like a Ford KA. It was crazy.
It's funny, that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Red Bull are still going to have like a pretty solid advantage for a lot of this season, but you are going to see that development start to come into play, or lack of wind tunnel time as the season goes on. Probably in a similar vein that you had last season, where you had Ferrari and Red Bull very level, and then you just saw Red Bull just start to move off into the distance. I think you'll almost see like an accordion effect where they'll start come back.
Good analogy. That's a good really analogy, good. Isn't it? It's
that's
all right.
Really good.
Yes, come on, man.
Come on, that's a point on the board.
Yeah, sort of move everyone back together again.
Yeah.
But I think the advantage that Red Bull have at the moment, it will be enough that they're not going to be concerned come the end of the season in terms of losing constructors or anything like that.
What do you think about Horner's comments then? Because is that like a tactical kind of play? Because obviously he's got to be speaking for the team.
Yeah.
Like Toto came out with that apology a couple of weeks ago for Mercedes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That is mad.
Rightly or wrongly, I can't believe that happened. Yeah. That was nuts.
I think it's so weird.
What do you think? Do you think it's a good
over the top?
No. Really?
Yeah. I like the sort of... I like honesty... And I like the idea that a team knows, right, this isn't really going that great, lads. Sorry about that. Let's try and sort it out, get me? But in that scenario, I was kind of like, that's fucking hell. It's not.
I don't think like it's clear and obvious like that Mercedes aren't where they want to be.
Yeah.
And they've made it very clear, like, whether it's Toto, whether it's Lewis, whether it's George speaking. Like, putting that out, I don't think that achieves anything. If anything, that just draws more attention, it draws more criticism from people outside, and it just, I don't know. I think they're trying to appease the fan base who, you know, have been used to such a, you know, competitive car for so long and now aren't. And I get that. You adjust your expectations.
I guess maybe it might be sort of like our drivers are speaking about how we should have listened to them. Let's try and combat this by going, right, okay, we know we've kind of fucked this up, lads. Not going to lie to you. Let's, you know, we're going to try and do our best. I think maybe if you don't get the Lewis Hamilton comments of like, I told the team what direction to go down.
Big.
I don't think you get that. That's big dick
that
energy fact. I don't think you get that statement, to be honest.
And the thing is, like, drivers make those kind of comments like all the time. It's just when you're Lewis Hamilton in Formula One, like you look at all other motorsports and teams are critical of the drivers. Drivers are critical of their teams. I don't even remember it's such good team radio. Try and find it if you can after you've listened to this podcast, of course.
Yeah, giving it a 5-star rating.
Was it Giancarlo Fisichella in a Renault and his engineer's like saying like, you're so many tenths slower than Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Like, you need to speed up.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Boss. Yeah.
Like, he's literally like rinsing him.
There was
on
an
radio.
F2 one recently as well, like a couple of years ago. It was Deruvala, wasn't it? And the guy was just like, just drive faster, boss.
I saw that. It popped up on my Twitter feed like the last couple of days.
Yeah, yeah.
What? That is insane. Like, can you imagine that?
I'd be fuming. It would fire me up a lot, to be fair, if I heard that on team radio.
Did you hear him?
Just drive, mate.
Did you hear Nick Cassidy's radio, by the way? If we were on team radio, it was in Formula E.
He was fuming at his teammate, wasn't he?
Buemi, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Buemi was like kind of maybe holding him up. He felt he was holding him up.
Yeah.
But he was just going on like, this is rad.
It was really passive aggressive, wasn't
it? Yeah.
It was just like,
what a great teammate he is.
He tried to do is it Gino De Campo meme? When if my mum's a bike or
whatever. If my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bike.
Yeah.
He tried to do that, but he got it like all mixed up, and it was
which
like,
made it even better.
Yeah,
so good.
It made it. It's like Brent stuff, isn't it?
Brent.
Yeah.
Imagine that as your team boss, and then just Brent comes. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Fuming.
Who's? Yeah, I reckon Zach Brown could be a bit of a David Brent.
I could see
Zach Brown as well. But look, I think, you know, we look at this sport and we talk about, you know, we've talked about like Ricardo. I think there's a sense of burnout with Daniel, you know, at the end of McLaren time, but also that extends to everyone. I mean, I saw a friend of the channel, Blake, he put a tweet out about 5 races in 6 weekends being a load of shit, basically. And It's
as
mad.
He's worked in the sport as it well. It's a very valid sort of, you know.
It's fascinating to me how many people don't understand that just because there's no racing doesn't mean people are not working. Like, these people are working flat out in the factories.
Everyone's gone Bahamas for like 3 weeks.
Do people, I can't, like, how many people can't fathom that?
Yeah.
Like, it's mad to me. I don't get it. Like he works at, like, it's five races in 6 weekends all around the world.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah, because the calendar, I saw a tweet about a month ago, I want to say, and it was like working out the air miles between each Grand Prix and showing how actually really inefficient it actually is.
Mm.
Like, we go back and forth. Like, why the fuck is Canada realistically in the middle of the European season? It's just a tradition, isn't it? Oh, we go there in July. But the reality is, I don't know why we do that.
Dominicology's gone, oh, we'll switch up. Like, why not? Like,
yeah,
it's getting a bit boring now. We've been in Europe for a long time.
I think some of it is like contracts. So, like, say a venue has a contract till 2028. Like, Australia just signed to
forever.
Like, yeah, it's like 2030 something.
It's
or something,
ridiculous.
Man. So I guess that ties them into that, like that time. And I guess certain countries, like weather, certain periods of the year, you don't want to be going to, say, Austin at certain times of the year, maybe, because it's
true.
And it's
Qatar in like August. Could you imagine?
I understand it's not like, but I just think the sport, because I mean, it's that mileage that contributes to way more of the carbon footprint, like exponentially more than the actual cars themselves.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
So if you actually want to be this like environmentally sustainable, like, talking about this 100% sustainable fuel in 2026. So if you want to really actually like do that genuinely and not just be like, you know, pushing this message for, because it's, you know, greenwashing essentially. You're essentially greenwashing the sport. Yeah. Like, yeah, you need to look at these things. Because, I mean, we're with 23 races this year, it should have been 24. It will be 24 next year. You can almost guarantee that. And it may be more, like 25.
I think 30 eventually. That's the kind of the rumours that's coming out. Can you imagine 30 races in a year? The toll that puts on everyone.
You'd have to change out your staff after each season almost. You'd actually have to like rotate staff like, genuinely like, every other year.
They would have to, they'd have to make concessions to like, if you're going to have more races, like, because again, when you turn up at a Grand Prix, you're not turning up on the Friday and then going straight. Like, you're turning up on like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then working like 15, 16 hour days, like jet lagged, like away from your family. Like, it's a lot. So,
it's back to back Grand Prix, you don't go home, you just go to the next one.
It's like Bernie Collins came out the other day and said it on a Sky Sports. Saying, you know, you finish 1 week, you get basically a day, and then you're in for preparing the next week. Mm. And with this 5 week thing going on right now, just race back to back to back, how many days do you get off? And, you know, it's a sport that they love and they live and breathe, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be some leeway to having some time to reset, and then you can be sharp and go back into it, because it's a sport of such fine details that, you know, you lose however many tenths by getting something wrong. Like, and I know it's the whole crew that comes together, but I think it's mad.
It pisses me off so much when I see people that they're just like, oh, they shouldn't be complaining because it's the dream job. I'd love to have that job. Well, why can't we just change it for the better? Like, it's not, F1 doesn't exist in nature. It wasn't Adam and Eve and fucking Stefano. Like, we come up with these rules.
And then there was Domenicali.
We come up with these rules. So let's just fucking make concessions for this.
Someone
for human fucking beings.
Someone photoshopping Domenicali into
into the garden of the Eden.
The apple is Stefano's head. It's like, no, it just, it does my head in. Because like, we can make it better. Like, we can't, like, this is the one of the richest sports in the world. There's so much money in the sport. We can we can build concessions, whether it's building it into the cost cap that you have to have alternating, you know, pit crews or whatever. Like, cool. If anything, that gives people more opportunities to get in the sport, because then you have to hire more people, but on a more part-time basis, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just think like there's an elegant solution. There's a more elegant solution than what we've
than just going, let's have six more races and then just deal with it.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's,
but I think the same about
healthy,
you know, bringing the sprint in the first place, like changing the sport. Because I think a lot of people, you know, you don't want to touch the sport. The sport's good. Like Q1, Q2, Q3 is like really good.
Yeah.
There's downsides, but I think generally speaking, like most people are happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, but let's try things. Like, I've been quite happy how, you know, Ross Brawn's talked about this when he was in charge anyway. He's left now. But, you know, it's good to try stuff, and you're only going to know until you try.
You're always going to get pushed back for everything. Do you remember that qualifying format they tried? Like, was it, I don't know when it was, I'm going to be honest with you. Was it like 2015 or
something?
It was
the knockout thing. They had it, like two races they did it.
It was like what you get now, but like every, what is it, 5 minutes, someone would get like eliminated or something. Mm. I want to say it was like years ago. I've kind of forgotten now.
It was like on a timer. And that
didn't work.
It didn't work. They did it literally one Grand Prix in Australia and we're like, yeah, this is shit.
The pundits couldn't keep up and it was just...
I think it's good that they try things. I mean, like very few people, I would say, have got a problem with the fact that there's two formats now throughout the season, that you've got the sprint as well.
Yeah.
And I saw there's a ton of discourse around whether they should have different formats for different races to make those races better, i.e. what do you do for Monaco? There's a lot of speculation about whether it'll be axed. I doubt it will. I know you guys have spoken about it, but why not just create a format that kind of works for that? It would be very complex, but is it worth testing it? Perhaps.
I don't even necessarily think it would have to be like crazily complex. Like you always say, like just do a two-stop at Monaco.
Just two-stop
like,
Monaco.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Like two stop Monaco, and then one.
There's not really many ways that you can make Monaco a good overtaking track.
Two stop Monaco and one stop the qualifying.
Yeah,
so that no one can, you know, crash and ruin everyone else's lap. Which has happened so many times.
They have a different format for F2 qualifying.
Yeah,
they split it up into 50%. Like half of people go
all the F2 cars around Monaco at the same time.
Insane.
Yeah,
would not go well.
Yeah, it would last a minute and a half before someone bins it.
And look, yeah, Monaco's this legacy event that. When you actually think about that track, it's ridiculous. Like, this track is it's so different to everything else.
Yeah,
different. Like, even the other street circuits, it's totally different to Singapore.
Yeah.
Like, you look at how, like, narrow it is, the undulate. Like it's completely different.
Before Mirabeau. Like, there's not, like, another, like, section of track in Formula One that.
And I'm all for it. Like, I like that, you know, we've got diversity of tracks, of different styles of tracks, different environments, different characteristics that are going to, you know, some cars are going to do well on certain tracks compared to others. Like, I think, you know, from what we hear, like, Monaco might be a bit of a struggle for Red Bull because they're not necessarily going to be able to unlock this DRS, you know, worldie that they've got at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But then just, you know, just nudge the rules around just to accommodate and make it. Like, it's only Monaco. It's fine.
It's only Monaco.
just one race. Just change it for one race. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but, no, I hear it.
But I mean, obviously, with Baku, we've got the sprint. And I think that, I don't know. What do we think? I think we've got to do predictions somewhat going into it, because the next time we talk will be, well, it'll be the live stream, but we've got to do, like, because we've got McLaren with upgrades coming. I think Alpine have got some significant upgrades coming as well.
Just get them in the top four fight as well. Fuck it.
What we said.
Imagine.
Because maybe
a dog fight between Mercedes, Ferrari, Aston Martin, McLaren, Alpine.
Because we've got two lots of qualifying.
Yeah, everyone. Just not again.
No, Williams is a howitzer in a straight line. So,
yeah,
you know.
True.
And
true.
Baku's very straight liney, isn't it? So we've got two lots of qualifying to predict and two races to predict.
Fucking hell.
It makes everyone's job so much harder.
Should we just predict FP1 as well whilst
let's do it.
Everything else is getting a prediction.
Alonso tops practice for me.
Yeah,
straight away.
Facts, yeah. Stroll's up there, third.
What do we reckon in... I'm not even going to break down the sessions. It's going to be Max, isn't it, in Red Bull? Yeah. Like,
you can't look past them.
Yeah.
You cannot look past them. I think it's a safe bet. If you were putting your money on it, you'd go Red Bull every time, right? But then... with these upgrade packages, Mercedes changing things around, it's a difficult prediction to make. I'm still going to go with Aston Martin, following them up for sure. I think that's the safest way to go.
Aston need to sort out their DRS though, because their DRS is one of the weakest.
Really? Just make it wider.
Yeah, just easy.
It's easy, mate.
Just crank it, just bend it. Just bend it a bit more.
I can't wait for you to get a call from like Mike Crack in a minute and just be like,
it's fucking genius.
You might be onto something there, mate. We've not fucking tried that.
That's my. I think it's going to be Ferrari second quickest.
Do you reckon?
This weekend,
Leclerc's redemption maybe. Get season off
Ferrari
to start
a decent
properly.
In a straight line. So I think that's gonna, because Baku's a really, because it's straight lines and then 90 degrees. Like there's no medium speeds at all. The whole track, there's not a single medium speed corner.
Yeah, no, there isn't really, is there?
Like it's all
because even the non 90 degrees are the fast stuff at the end.
Yeah,
of that.
You're just still pinned full throttle. Yeah, like everyone's pinned full throttle. So
yeah, actually that's true. Yeah, this might be a decent track for Ferrari. Charles Leclerc might be a bit distracted, to be fair.
Well, should we talk about Charles?
Because making music, mate.
Well, there's been, you know, when we're on the show, right? We talk about rumours that are flying around, and obviously some of them you're just like, oh, it's just that's nonsense. There's no point talking about that. But I think, you know, we've seen apparently, you know, some journalists in the know in Italy have been discussing how it's a bit of an open secret that Charles Leclerc has been having talks with Mercedes. Now, again, that could be waffle, right? And I hope it's not. We love a bit of waffle.
Talk to them, Charles.
But
yeah, please, you know, at least have a conversation.
We were chatting beforehand. We were looking at Charles' contract. You know, it ends at the end of 2024. Mm-hmm. You've got Lewis's contract goes to the end of this season. Mm-hmm. You've got to wonder, you know, if Mercedes can give Lewis a competitive car, then he's going to be incentivized to stay. If they continue to struggle in like third, fourth quickest car, he might be incentivized to leave. We talked about this last week. I was like, if I was Charles Leclerc, I'd bank on Mercedes. I'd gamble Mercedes over Ferrari any day.
Yeah. I was saying, I'd just wait until I'm in the final year of my contract, see what both teams can offer me. You've got a power position once your contract's expiring. Ferrari would be like, oh my God, back to Charles Leclerc. Anything at him, throw any promise under the sun at him.
It's like Tomo was saying, he could do a Raikkonen and just rinse the contract.
Yeah, brilliant. 1,000%.
Million per point. I'll take that.
Million per point.
Well, he hasn't got many points yet.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean, look, with that, the Mercedes shakeup we were saying earlier, does that dictate what's going to happen in the next few seasons? Because if Hamilton's in a competitive car, it'll stay. Mm. Yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that it'll stay. Yep. So is there a seat for Leclerc? Does he just have to ride it out? Mm. That's a question that needs to come in. But I think Ferrari is almost like a no-go. I cannot see things changing. I just have zero faith, like at all, in the fact that they'll turn it around. I can't see it happening.
We kind of just had an epiphany last week. We were just like, they haven't actually won a Constructors' Championship or a Drivers' Championship in a long time. Like, and
that team being is honest, actually pretty
before
mid.
I started watching the sport.
yeah, exactly. They're just legacy merchants. Like, if we're going to be totally real. They've been here for a while.
They're just Williams again, aren't they?
Alfa Romeo have been here for a while.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? 1950 world champion Alfa Romeo.
You love that. Love that. That's one to whip out when you're right out, isn't it?
You know, no, it's one of them. I said it, and then after I double checked, and I was like, yes, I was right.
He was right.
Yes.
Come on.
Big up.
Was it Ascari? I think it was first one, wasn't it?
I think it was Frina or Ascari. I can't remember.
It's impressive for a corner.
Sippy Frina.
Sorry. Oh, shit.
Great. That's great.
Worse than the Baku one, honestly.
Well, so, okay, my question then is, say you are in charge at Mercedes and you've got George Russell, who's, you know, doing bits, looks every bit as quick as Lewis does right now. Uh-huh. You've got him. Cool. Yeah. That other seat, if Leclerc becomes available at the end of next season, because if you don't take him, then he potentially goes somewhere else or he stays at Ferrari. And Leclerc is, like, for me, I think Leclerc, his pace ceiling is, I would say, the same as Max's. Mm. Like, on his day, quicker. But he's got a mistake in him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a bottle in him as Charles. He hasn't, it's happened, right? We saw that last
time. He's well hydrated. He's got a bottle on him.
Exactly. Evian, hit him up.
Yeah. Other water brands are available.
Yeah, but they're French, aren't they? They're like near.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I hear that, yeah. You're cooking.
It's true. Good point. I just think that, I think it's a difficult decision because as much as I agree that Hamilton, I think 2021 is, I think if Hamilton won that season, I could have definitely seen him retiring. But I think with all of that, with everything that's happened and him now kind of having to build this team up again, I think that's revitalized him and I could see him in the sport for another, I think age more than ever now with modern understanding of nutrition, how to keep yourself in shape. Mm. We're seeing Alonso go long. We saw Raikkonen go long. I think we'll see more drivers getting into their 40s and still being competitive.
We're not even seeing Alonso like showing any signs of actually being like weakening at all as a driver.
What an animal.
Yeah, he's crazy, isn't it?
His racecraft is as good as it's ever been.
But, yeah. But what do you do? Do you stick with Lewis and think you could get three, maybe four more seasons out of him? Or do you go with Charles, who's someone that is still super young, you could get 15 years out of him potentially?
I whatever decision you make, either way, you're distributing an amazing driver to someone else. That's the problem.
Yeah, because then Lewis is back on the market.
Exactly, yeah. And
Lawrence Stroll was picking him straight
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%, mate.
Sorry, Lance. That's the only way Lance is out of that seat. Lance, you're going reserve driver.
But just 2 years.
Hamilton, Alonso at Aston Martin.
The limbs that would be flying.
Oh, my happen. Goodness gracious.
Nostalgia merch is going to be coming back out. Oh, my God. It's going to be insane.
Vodafone merch all over the place.
I think there were quotes from Alonso. I could be wrong on this, but I'm sure I saw a quote from Alonso saying that he'd, love to end his career alongside Lewis. Or
that would just be the sickest character arc.
The
but then Fernando
that would
just
need that's going to be the end of Hamilton's so. Film. That's literally going to be the end.
Yeah.
No, but I want to answer. What would you do if you're in charge at Mercedes?
The thing is, Hamilton's built this undeniable like stack of evidence to back him up that he's the best person to have. There's no one better. But if you're looking at future-proofing your car
this is it.
And Mercedes, you can't look past Leclerc. I think he would be a perfect, and he would be a marquee signing as well. He's not like he's just some reserve driver. He's
but also remember, then you've got Leclerc and Russell, who would both be, you know, you've not got a 1-2 dynamic there, I don't think.
Yeah, and
which
you've
could
not,
be a problem.
And you've not got a 1-2 dynamic for a long time until you decide to change them again. It's not like you've got one who's on the... Like, at the moment, you've got this sort of crossover between Lewis and George where it's like they're both fighting on an equal playing field. They're both very similar in terms of pace. But at the very least, you can go, well, Lewis might not be here in 3 years in terms of driving. But if you've got Leclerc and Russell in the same car, they're literally the same age. Mm. You're going to have that potential power dynamic for about 10 years if you decided to keep them together.
Just a thought. So that would be what, next year? That he would go, right?
Leclerc. End of 2024.
End of 2024.
2025.
So what happens if Mercedes do really well? Russell has proven himself. He's multiple race winner by then. And if in an instance, Leclerc has had a terrible two seasons, this one hasn't gone off to a good start. Mm. Next season is terrible. Does he then potentially be signed up by Mercedes and is the number two driver by default?
Yeah, maybe.
That's a very kind of odd thing to throw out there, but it's possible.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because you've got all these drivers who are... Look, I think the talent pool in F1 right now is as good as it has ever been, if not better than it has ever been. Because I just think the standards, you've got these drivers, you know, there's more drivers coming through now.
Yeah.
There's more... I just think the... you go back to the early 2000s and some of the drivers just weren't at the standard. I think... Like we're not seeing really
there's
anyone
heavyweights
now.
Everywhere in the top.
Like
the
even
top
De Vries
eight.
At the back is like a two-time like world champion.
Yeah, that's actually mad. Yeah,
Piastri won everything on the way up.
Yeah, like Logan was like way more impressive than Piastri in the karting days as well.
Yeah,
so it's like I just think the standard's so high. You look at the Hamilton Bottas pairing was perfect in the same way that Schumacher Barrichello was perfect.
Mercedes was spoiled, man.
And it's like, even, you know, Red Bull, you had Webber wasn't a happy number two, but he kind of ended up just having to accept it.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I think Checo's maybe kind of the same. He's not happy to be number two, but I think he just has to kind of accept it. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like, it's a decision from, because Toto Wolff has gone on record to say, you know, he inherited the Hamilton-Rosberg partnership. He wouldn't have chosen to put those two really like alpha, for want of a better word, drivers together who both want to win and aren't going to have any concessions and be prepared to settle. But I don't know if Mercedes could ever get that back, that Hamilton-Bottas combination. I don't think there's going to be any driver, unless you go to like, I don't know, get Pascal Wehrlein out of Formula E, who's like ex-Mercedes, and he like raced, you know. He,
bring him back.
Because he almost got the seat instead of Bottas, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, unless you're going to do that and have a defined one and two.
But the way things are, though, at the moment, I don't think you can afford to do that right now. If you look at the battle the Mercedes are in constructors-wise, if you were to go, okay, right, we're going to have a designated number two driver who is categorically just worse than George Russell, you put yourself at a massive disadvantage in the battle against Aston Martin and Ferrari, because every point matters. You can do that if you're Red Bull. You can go, well, we're massively clear of everyone. Let's just have a designated number two driver. I don't think Mercedes have that.
But I would argue, right now. Do Mercedes really care if they finish second or third? Like, does it really matter to Mercedes? Like, if they finish second or third?
If they're not
winning.
No, I know, I hear that. So they're not going to finish first if they have a designated number two driver as things stand.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They could, you know, take a downgrade of driver to go alongside George, build George up more.
Yeah.
To prepare for when they can fight for a championship. Okay, and then you've got one driver you can put all of your momentum behind.
Long term plan. I think it's a good theory, because I think Russell is just—he's phenomenal.
Yeah,
so, like he goes under the radar
I
so
think
much.
Mercedes can bank their future on Russell. I think they can. And then it's like, do you risk upsetting the apple cart? This is the whole talk about, you know, Red Bull bringing in Norris to go alongside Verstappen.
Yeah,
Lando's unreal. Like, I think he would push Verstappen harder than he's been pushed for a long time.
Yeah.
Does that upset the status quo there?
Dynamic.
you know, because then they're taking points off of each other. If these regulations are going to do
Mercedes.
Their job, right? Not confirmed.
No, no, allegedly.
You can't say that.
You can't say that because that. No.
You're not allowed alleged. To say
that. No, it's not alleged. It's not alleged.
According to Neil. Yeah. He's going to be messaging you after this. What the fuck?
What are you talking about?
No, what I'm saying is, like, if these regs do their job, right, and then in, say, 2025, we've got, if they do their job and the teams do their jobs, we could have four teams, realistically, I think we could have four teams with a quick enough car to fight for a world championship.
Yeah.
That is the time, more than ever, you need a 1-2. Because if you've got two number ones, they're taking points off of each other. And then you can't win the Drivers' Championship if you've got two number ones. You can't do that.
Margin between how far apart are they? Are they close enough that they don't challenge each other, but are they so far away that they can't gain higher place points? Mm. That's a tricky one.
It's a tough one. It depends also what you're aiming for. Are we trying to win a Constructors' Championship or a Drivers' Championship?
Oh, Drivers is all they give a fuck about.
No, but see, the teams. But the team, that's what I mean.
Waffle. I'm sorry.
You reckon?
Yeah, man. Like, come on. It's a bit of prize money. To a team like Haas, calm, fine. There's a lot to that. Daimler? Are they going to give a fuck about that?
Especially the cost cap.
No.
They're not even spending as much as they were before.
Who won the Constructors in 2008?
Was it Ferrari?
I don't know.
Ferrari. No one gives a fuck.
That's a good point.
He's probably done us.
We don't care.
No one cares.
Okay, so we're trying to win a Drivers' Championship.
Of course. Yeah. That's what the plaudits
are. Yeah, no, I hear it. Because I was about to say, like, if you look at a Sainz-Leclerc partnership, that's relatively even. Like, yeah. Leclerc's got the edge, but I wouldn't say that's a clear, definitive 1-2 where Sainz will sit
not
down
over
and go,
the total. I think this season, Charles had the measure on Carlos. True.
But you make a good point, because like last year there were many
work,
instances.
Is what I mean.
Yeah, like
they're not gonna crash into each other. Like
yeah, like last year there were many instances where they were fighting against each other, and Sainz didn't want to give in, Leclerc didn't want to give in. Yeah. So I see where you're coming from. It's a tricky one to decide.
This is what I mean. There's so many different things. It's all well and good just looking at a driver market and be like, we just want the best drivers. But actually, I think if you're fighting for a championship, you have to play it strategically. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that, you know, in 2010. The fact that Vettel and Webber were so close almost saw Fernando or Lewis even
win the championship. Yeah.
You know, take that championship because you had Lewis was clear of was it Jensen in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Fernando was way clear of Massa.
Yeah.
So, like, that almost got one of them the championship. And then Red Bull, all of a sudden, like, they could have very easily, if that's gone slightly different, obviously Vettel won the championship. But, you know, Vettel never led that championship until the last day. And he kind of, like, took it from Webber. But
well, it's interesting, the last time Ferrari won the championship was a very similar thing when Raikkonen won it, because McLaren had Alonso and Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
Two great examples.
Big personalities.
Yeah.
And they were, I would say, for the majority of the season, again, I wasn't watching it then, but done a bit of research. Yeah. They were
highlights.
A massive dogfight for the whole season.
Yeah.
And they just came up against each other, ruined each other's races. Raikkonen sweeps in and wins a title.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Ferrari needs to do that again. They go, no, take him. And then we'll just...
Yeah. No, that's the exact example. Yeah. So that could easily happen if they don't play their cards right. And I just think that, I don't know. It's
you know
a tricky
what?
One.
If I'm Leclerc, sack it all off, make an EP instead.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I saw this on Twitter, but I just scrolled past. I was like, that's waffle. But what's going on? Charles Leclerc in his ex-NDA... era.
Yeah, well, I was not aware of this either.
So
come on, Tom.
There's a song on Spotify, mate, allegedly, although I think it might have been taken down.
I'm not as much of in the know as you guys, but apparently he's released a song for pre-save on Spotify, and he replied to someone saying, is this real, with just like a wink face and something else saying maybe. So is that real? I don't know.
Yeah, because I think it was something to do with it was on his link tree or something. Like,
yeah,
and it was actually a Spotify link there. So people are like, oh, no, it's not actually. Because when we first heard this, we were like, oh, it's like an AI song or some shit.
So he's actually like endorsing it officially.
Well, if things aren't going well at Ferrari, and he doesn't get that Mercedes seat, he's got to do something else, doesn't
he? He's got a tune. Have you heard it?
No.
See, I want to listen to it now. What type of music does Charles Leclerc make? For me, it has to be piano ballads.
100%.
He can play a piano, can't he?
Can
I'm
he?
Sure, that's I've seen a clip of him playing a piano.
That's why when it came out, I wasn't that shocked. I was like, Maybe it's pastime. You know, like Hamilton does DJ in his spare time every now and then.
Yeah,
so
Lando as well.
There's no way Charles Leclerc is releasing a techno tune. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be crazy.
Power ballad.
I can't imagine like a grime track from Charles.
Can you imagine?
Leclerc on Bashment.
Printworks giving itself.
Jeez. Back XOYO.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Look, all these drivers have, you know, things that they do outside of, they're not just, you know, robots who drive racing. Valtteri Bottas has got his gin.
Yeah,
which we still need. I have not. I do like a gin though.
I don't like gin, so that's wrong.
Do you not?
I'm not a gin person. I want to try it, but I'm not a gin person.
I like a fruity gin with some lemonade, like a rhubarb and something.
Lewis is nodding as well. You've got him on the gin vibe as well.
Have you? Oh, yeah.
2v2.
The bomb vibe.
I'll just have a Jaeger bomb. That's fine, lads. Don't worry about it.
You're a cheap date.
I am, yeah. In Nottingham, I definitely am. £1.50, sorted. Easy.
Well, because I know Charles talked about going into fashion. And I guess
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's talked. I've seen clips of him.
Yeah,
you know, the question, like, if you weren't in doing F1, what would you do? Like, and he's said he's always been into fashion. And I know he's had stuff with, like, he models a lot of the Ferrari fashion stuff. So, music's never been something that I still might be AI. I reckon it's probably AI.
Who would produce the maddest music out of the Formula One paddock, in your opinion?
Great question. Great question.
Valtteri Bottas has got some crazy tunes in him, in my opinion. In his new Australian era, he's releasing some mental stuff. Either country or just like the craziest rock mashups you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, tough one.
I think Esteban's got like a, you know, what's that?
What music is Esteban on?
No. You know, what are they called? You know, the ones who stick their tongue out and they've the black and white face paint.
Really? You think Ocon's got that in his locker?
What, like Screamo?
Yeah. I reckon he's got a Screamo in him. I reckon.
Lead singer of Slipknot. I reckon Esteban, he's
like
Ocon.
Yeah. Low key. I could picture him like with the proper headbang. Like,
yeah. Okay.
The tongue out.
And fair enough. I think Kevin Magnussen might. Have a little bit of that as well.
Great shout.
Kevin Magnussen. Yeah. the ones that won Eurovision that time.
Oh, yeah.
They were crazy.
K-Mag on Eurovision.
I reckon Hülkenberg have it in.
Yeah.
I think he's like a weird character outside. Yeah. I reckon he's like...
Hülkenberg plays acoustic guitar, definitely.
Yeah.
I reckon. And then George Russell's music would be mad. George Russell's music.
To get an insight into his Spotify.
Michael Bublé 2.0.
That 100%. Would be, yeah, 1,000.
Yeah,
he actually would definitely. Be. Yeah. He's making Christmas tunes.
What do you reckon?
George Russell has a Christmas song in his locker.
Do you know what? I think K-Mag's probably the best shout, I reckon, for sure. I think he's got something in him. He's definitely got a playlist. He's gone, nah, this is not good enough, pre-race. He started to produce his own stuff.
He's learned how to
his
use
his time
like
away from
doors.
House, he's like, yeah, I'm on Ableton. Just sorting it out, right. Being insane.
I want to say if he was still like Daniel Ricciardo, if he would be comfortably the guy, number one. Because he loves his music as well. He goes to loads of like, I love seeing like, I know before Austin, he'd like go and watch like live music at like pubs and stuff.
Yeah.
That's so sick. Imagine like, just sit there just having a beer and like Daniel Ricciardo.
And just look over, it's like Daniel Ricciardo, but it's like 100 person gig.
Giving it.
Yeah.
Just giving it. So we got the.
Do you know what? That wouldn't even surprise me.
Yeah, same.
Probably doing it all the time. Loving this year.
Yeah,
Red Bull Reserve Shop. You can see how happy he is. It's
mad. Yeah, he's got the TikTok drive.
There's been Red Bull been talking about how, you know, he jumped in when he first jumped in back in their simulator. He was like all at sea, like they're kind of gradually building his confidence back. It's interesting, like it makes you think, right? You've got a driver like Daniel going from Red Bull to Renault, doing well, really well at Renault as well. Going to McLaren, having a really bad time. You got to wonder how many drivers, you know, get into F1 and either only drive a car that really suits them or never get a car that suits them and never get to show their full potential.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think, you know, Daniel Kvyat is like an example. Like, he's a driver who beat Ricciardo, almost went to Ferrari, said no, then got dropped. And then he's now out of F1 completely.
Yeah.
But what kind of, I wanted to ask, like, drivers that are maybe not in F1, drivers that are not in F1 at the minute, whether it's younger drivers or drivers in Indy or Formula E or whatever, who you think maybe would do a better job than most, like an underrated job.
Outside of F1?
Juicy.
Who would do an underrated job if they got a seat in F1. So for example, Stoffel van Dorn.
Yeah.
I think
he definitely never had a car that suited him.
Yeah, because when we had Alex Shakes on, he was saying Stoff was like, is the one that he would put in if he could pick the whole 20, like he would put Stoff in. Because I think you're up against Fernando Alonso in a shit
in a shit box. Yeah,
like he didn't get. I think Stoffel would do a better job than most people would think. If you say Stoffel Van Dorn, it's not a name you get super excited about, but I think he'd do a really good job.
Yeah, flies under the radar.
Like an F1,
so who else? Let's get like a. I want to get five.
You mentioned Wehrlein earlier.
Pascal Wehrlein.
Well, literally anyone. So they don't have to have been in Formula One already.
They could have been in the past, or they might have never been in Formula One. But like Robert Schwartzman, for example, someone who's been forgetting about.
Man,
right?
Wow,
he great
just,
junior
just
career.
Never made it, innit? Yeah.
And he's reserve at Ferrari, and I think he'd do a great job.
I'm going to live and die by Liam Lawson. I think the pace that he's got. Is phenomenal.
He's looked good in Super Formula.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Great.
And he's racing in Japan.
He's just so versatile. Yeah. Actually, that is a good shout because he's driven so many different types of cars because he was in DTM, wasn't
Beat
he?
Beat Alex in DTM, almost won the championship.
Yeah, literally. He should have won it, but got like taken out like the final like race of the season or whatever. Gone over Super Formula, slapping it there. Done well in Junior Formulas. He's actually a really good shout.
And he's still young. Like we couldn't believe he's 21.
Mate,
really?
21?
He was like 24.
Literally for makes some me feel sick.
That's disgusting.
and he's so experienced at his age as well. Like he's driven in so many different series.
I carted against Liam Lawson once.
Really?
Yeah.
You beat him as well. Yeah.
Well, I was ahead of him. Yeah. No, I was ahead of him when I came.
Yeah, come on then.
And I saw him. And then I looked behind me and he wasn't there because I think he'd like gone off. So I think I spooked him.
Right. Yeah.
The ability, he was just too much and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah. He actually just couldn't see the corner because your massive head.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is a
I'd be offended if it wasn't true. I'd be offended if it wasn't true. Wow.
How are you feeling?
It's like a whole, like, my childhood of bullying coming back.
Oh, no. Don't drop that.
It is okay. My dead trim would have blocked the apex as well, mate. Don't you stress. Yeah, exactly.
that was good. I like that.
What about Pato O'Ward? So what about the IndyCar crew?
Yeah, I think there's a good amount of, from what I see anyway, because you can only judge from what you see, right? And I'll try and follow the IndyCar as much as possible. Mm. I think Pato gets good plaudits. I think he's got a lot of support, and I think he'd do a great job in F1. I think him and Palou, they're both on that McLaren Junior program, aren't they?
Yeah. Palou's so well regarded at McLaren, so many other people.
It's weird though, he was really average in like junior formula in Europe and just kind of went American and was like, oh shit, I'm actually good now and just started like slapping it over there. I think if he came back over, because he's got like obviously knowledge of all the tracks as well, being Spanish and stuff. So
this is why you can't define drivers by their junior careers.
Yeah,
like,
facts.
There's no one route. Yes, you get certain drivers like Lewis, like Charles, like Max, who just were always at the top going through. But then you look at, again, like when I, for a video like a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at Piastri and Sargeant, and the hype around Piastri has been exponentially more than Sargeant going into this season. And, you know, obviously because of the Alpine drama and all that, I get it. Yeah. But like, you look in junior karting, like Sargeant was like world champion, like year after, he was unreal. Piastri was good, but he wasn't like winning championships like Sargeant was. And then all of a sudden in F3 and F2, Formula Renault before that, Piastri just gets in these single seaters and just takes off. Yeah. And Sargeant, like, you know, wasn't having the same success. So I think we've got Van Dorn. We've got Lawson.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got, who else? You said Wehrlein.
I did say Wehrlein, but
Wehrlein's like lead. Yeah, I think because he's leading FE this year.
Yeah.
But he didn't do great the last couple of years. But I think Wehrlein would be a really interesting thing for maybe Mercedes to bring if they wanted to just find number two.
Yeah,
I think Wehrlein could be that person potentially.
Yeah, Wasser.
He's still fairly young.
Oh, you're staunch Iwasa.
Come
you know
on,
that.
Man. I'm a heavy Iwasa prop
around here.
Heavy Iwasa prop. This is a Iwasa territory around here.
He's the only one to win what two races? This season, right?
He is. Yeah, and he was really good like tail end of last year. Second half.
He's picked up a lot of momentum.
But again, I think in Formula 3 he wasn't exceptional. Like I think he finished like sixth or seventh, maybe.
So Tsunoda basically did the same thing, where it was like he was in a very good F3 field, but he came like seventh in the championship.
Yeah, and so much of that. Yeah, you're right. Like so much of it, we think about like the quality of the drivers around you define whether you finish first or
yeah.
You know, you look at the 2018 Formula 2 field: Russell, Albon, Norris.
Yeah, if you finish sixth in that, you could win the title this year, yeah, or like any other year in F2. To be fair, the F2 field this year is crazy as well.
Yeah. And then like 2019, Latifi finished second. Like, no offense, but like that field was nowhere near the caliber it was in 2019.
There's like waves in it, because if you have like a really good F3 field, they'll all get promoted. And then the next year, you've got an amazing F2 field. Then they'll all get promoted, and then you've got a kind of like average F2 field. Mm. By that point, you've got a new, like, so you kind of get like either a really good F3 selection or a really good F2 selection. Who's an F3 this year that's actually decent?
Bartomeu's doing quite well.
I feel like there's a whole new cast again. Like, yeah, I don't know anyone in it.
Like, it's like so many drivers went from F3 to F2 this year, so it's a whole new number.
Even Behrman, he's like 12. He's in like F2 now. It's mad.
Mate, he's so young.
He's so young.
He's 17.
He's bloody talented, isn't he? He's ridiculous.
He's unreal. I think, okay, Van Dorn, Wehrlein, Van Dorn, Wehrlein, O'Ward,
Lawson.
Lawson.
Iwasa.
Yeah, go on.
Just
for you.
Get them all in. We're going to need another Red Bull team, honestly.
Oh, that's a prop guy and heavy. Nah, listen, I'm here for it. And I think, junior formulas, you should be watching them. I know you said you just started.
Just started getting into it. And it's fascinating. I love, I think this is an interesting point to go on, is the reverse grid.
Mm. Yeah.
The proposals about that potentially being in Formula One. How do you guys feel about that? Because I think it's a really contentious subject. I'm so against it.
So we had Aldas on, who was, do you remember how against it he was? He was like, why should you be getting...
I could see the steam coming out of
his ears. He was like, nah, you shouldn't be getting rewarded for being
maybe
shit.
Maybe I'm not that much, but definitely not.
No, because you'd get teams, I think you'd get teams playing the system somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different to F2, where it's almost like... F2 is like just all guns blazing. If you start at 8th, you can still win the race. Yeah. You can't realistically do that in Formula One.
The car would have the same.
Yeah. It would have way more of an impact in Formula One, in the sense of like you would just get teams playing mind games and doing things tactically. And yeah, you'd be getting rewarded for being like the fourth best team on the grid or fifth best, even if you were to just reverse the top 10, not reverse the whole field like doing F2. Yeah, like why should Alpine get pole now for a sprint race because they're kind of like a bit slower than everyone else? I don't know.
The only way that
it
works,
would be entertaining though, that's the thing.
Yeah, it would be
like it
so
would be hilarious, but
yeah,
the only way level, I don't know if it would work.
They couldn't reverse the whole grid.
No.
Like
no
if
no
they
chance.
Reversed the
that
top
would be
10,
funny though,
like they do in F2, that's a bit more realistic, but it's still not what I'd want. Like, no,
at the end of the season, we should do like a Formula One shootout. A one-off event that's not a championship event, do reverse grid. Boom. Entire grid reversed.
Just
you
win.
Title like, decider
if
as
you
well.
Win, yeah, oh. You get it as a title decider and you get some prize money if you win the race.
I'd love to see like an all-stars series. Just chuck them all in the exact same F4 car, right? Just a really little F4 shitter. Right?
Yes.
And you get like all the best drivers from Super Formula, IndyCar, Formula E, Formula One, NASCAR, Rally, everything. Like chuck them all in. And see who comes out top.
Not do it like Race of Champions, because Race of Champions is like, one person races against another guy on snow for like no reason. It's like, no.
Just, why is it on snow?
Why is it always on snow? None of you drive on snow. What are we doing here? Makes no sense.
It's literally just pure vibes. Why not?
But like, if Lucas Blakely dunks on two F1 drivers,
esports massive.
Crazy.
Hero, absolute legend. No, I think, I'd love to see like the reverse top 10 just as a one-off. Like as a one-off, just do it for vibes.
Yeah.
Just see. Like, I think that would be, because one thing with F1, right, and I've seen this point mentioned before, particularly when talking about people, like talking to people who don't really follow F1, but follow other sports. Mm-hmm. F1 is like the only sport, motorsport's the only sport that gives the quickest car an advantage at the start as well. It's like doing a 100-meter sprint and putting Usain Bolt, he's only got to do 90 meters.
Yeah. True, yeah.
So there is a sporting argument that putting the fastest at the front is inevitably going to... But then there's no way. You can't have 20 cars starting side by side.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. But this is... The thing that I love about Formula 1 is that it's both about the driver and their talent, but it's also about the talent of, the teams and what they can do and the engineers and what car they can produce. Does that feel kind of condescending towards a team, say you've built the best car, but we're going to dock you anyway. Because it's a whole...
And the other way around, because if you go, oh yeah, guys, I'm sorry you made a shit car, exactly. But like, here you go, here's some bonus points, so you can start at the front of the field.
Do, like, do you take that? Is that a personal insult? I mean, I think if it's going to allow you to win a race and earn more money as a result
That's a good way of looking at it, because I think, yeah, you are rewarding the quickest, but they're the quickest for a reason. They're the quickest because they've made the best car.
Yeah.
Like they didn't just inherit the car. Yeah. Like they didn't just like, oh, car. Like
yeah.
They made it. They put their blood, sweat and tears into it and they should be rewarded for making the best car by starting a little bit further up.
I guess you've almost got to see qualifying as like an extension of the overall race. Mm. It's almost like if you did 100 meters and you did a little qualifying thing beforehand, that's almost like you get put in an easier heat or something. Yeah, you do a little 10 meters beforehand.
Well, I heard an interesting point on Twitter the other day, which was basically, why not give points for qualifying in the sense that you can build the fastest car and then there's another one that can last the race, which I thought was an interesting point, because let's say something like an Alpine whacks into the top five out of nowhere and they earn points for that. And that counts towards their overall score. Is that a cool thing to do? And then you balance the points and you take the average or something like that?
You kind of used to get that in the refueling days where teams would like fuel light on purpose. So I remember Suzuka 2005, where you had those, that Alonso outside of Schumacher through 130R.
Yeah.
Like one of the most iconic overtakes of all time. You had Ralf Schumacher's Toyota on pole and Jenson Button's Honda P2. Mm. Now, I think they underfueled those cars to make sure the two Japanese manufacturers are starting at the front?
Yes. Probably.
Allegedly.
But if
Japan is watching.
Yeah, and then in the race, like, Ralf had to pit early and he fell right down because like they threw the race for the sake of getting up front and qualifying. Teams are prepared to do that. I mean, Crashgate, for example.
Next question.
Interesting.
Oh, also, Felipe is actually... there was an Autosport article I read yesterday.
He's pursuing it.
He's pursuing it.
Oh, man.
It's not just waffle.
It's just a grey area. It's a rabbit hole. Once you start going down... It's obviously not going to happen, but it's like... If, for example, you were to go, oh, yeah, no, you're right, then every other decision during the course of that season, Lewis Hamilton goes, well, I shouldn't have got this penalty here or this whatever. It's long.
Opens up a massive can of worms that they can just pick out different things. And
every person who finished second in the Formula One Championship is going to go, well,
for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about I tell you about this? It's just, yeah,
where's
it's not going to work.
Stack it.
Yeah, slap it on the table.
Because I think like in that race, if you just disqualified the Renaults, for example, then that's Nico Rosberg's first F1 win because he finished second.
Yeah.
So then like there's
so Rosberg's
all these...
suing him as well.
Yeah, where's my first F1 win?
Yeah, where's my trophy? I want my trophy, mate.
That's valid.
It changes the whole course of a season. Like the season went that way, but you talk about the butterfly effect a lot, right?
Yeah.
If that didn't happen, does this happen? And so forth. Like it's so hard to say that this dictated what happened in the next race and to this driver and to that team. It doesn't work like that. It's a combination of a whole season.
Yeah, so. Because there might be decisions that are made in split seconds by drivers in races that happened after that don't happen if they're in a different situation. Sure. You know, if Massa goes into a certain race leading the championship where he wasn't before, he might not go for an overtake that he would have gone. It's just so many nuances to it. Yeah, it's just not, it's not linear like that.
Mm.
But...
Right.
I don't know how I'm going to segue this in.
Go on.
Yeah. But Fernando Alonso has been talk of the paddock in recent days. I don't really know how this has come about. I need to be filled in on that front. But all I've seen is that Fernando Alonso and Taylor Swift might be going out. And I want to know how they met. Because that's not... I don't know if they met on Tinder,
you know,
but I don't understand how those two paths have crossed.
I love how you made it seem like it was like a year 6 relationship. Like, oh, they're going out now.
Yeah,
like,
going out. Well, I don't know. Yeah,
they're holding hands.
Yeah, they're holding hands
in the playground.
No.
I don't know. How do you? Yeah,
I'm waiting, right? And if
they're dating,
someone's done,
yeah, that's the word, isn't it? Dating.
We got there in the end. That's
fine. I was genuinely thinking. I was like, what? Wait, what
What's
do I
the
say?
Words?
Yeah.
Cohabiting.
Like, I'm waiting for the YouTube video to drop from some like YouTube prankster who's come up with this and created it and put it on a Reddit thread and got it to blow up and become this huge thing where even Aston Martin, you see their TikTok that they did?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Their socials are banging.
Sick. Yeah.
Fernando Alonso dating Taylor Swift.
I mean,
that's F1 true way to happen as well, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Can you imagine that collab?
I mean, look, I don't. Taylor's not got the best track record with partners, and Fernando's. Harry Styles, maybe? Did she date him?
That is a crazy.
I'm throwing it out there.
Going from Harry Styles to Fernando Alonso is a big change up, man. That's a different.
Oh, it's definitely an upgrade. Yeah, it's definitely, an upgrade. Definitely an upgrade.
Can Harry Styles win a Formula One World Championship?
But also, Fernando's known for, you know, moving on to teams when things aren't working. So
it's really toxic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be kidding.
Wait, that would be Britney Spears, wouldn't it?
Oh, wait, oh. I see. You see, now you're on my level. That's the jokes I was making earlier on.
I didn't bring my dad jokes today. I'm feeling really left out.
We've really gone above and beyond.
You
with
had
them
two
today.
In the first 10 minutes. You finally come.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what's going on at the end of the day.
It must be like, has, I don't know how deeply you speak with Lando, but obviously his lifestyle is around the world.
Yeah.
Obviously he's got his, like, is he in Monaco that often, or is he always like out and doing things?
He's not really dead like a crazy amount.
It's like a base, but it's not really home.
Yeah, it's where you go back to when you've actually got a bit of a break. But like often you'll just be sort of around, like off and about, even outside of Grand Prix and stuff like that, just spending time wherever. It's an easy life for some.
But I guess it depends on, like, I think it's not just for the drivers, but for team personnel as well. And I've seen like people say, like, it's for the young and single. Like, you don't have any ties and obligations.
Yeah.
Like, once you've got a family, like, balancing it like Kevin Magnussen's having to do. Like, he's got kids.
Crazy,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's a lot to ask. And that's, part of the reason why Seb retired when he did as well. Because he's got family. You don't want to lose those years. And you've won 4 world championships. You know, what more is in it, I guess, for you?
I don't think a lot of people appreciate the intensity that it takes. I mean, you'll probably know better than I will. But in terms of, it's 24/7, I would imagine. You cannot mentally switch off because the second you do, you lose that sharpness that you need in a race, particularly format. And it's thinking about the next one, getting in the simulators. Then there's the physical training, which I know you've done. Like, brilliant,
badly,
by the way.
Yeah.
That
brilliant,
video is popping the algorithm as well. It keeps coming up on my homepage.
Mate, that's why I mentioned
it. Just like,
I want to see you do it again and see how much you progress.
You meant to resist, Niren.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll pull it from one side. You pull it from the other.
I was like, I'm just pulling you towards me.
Yeah, no, my neck's gone, mate. I did it once. That's it. I'll never be able to pull it again. It's always funny because that clip always bangs, like, once every month.
Yeah,
someone will
millions,
tag me, and it's got like a million likes. I'm like, for God's sake,
3 million views, isn't it?
Yeah, I need to post it. Yeah, it's got 3 million.
I reckon you should try it again and see how far you progress.
Yeah, I actually might do. I'm just happy I was described as a normal man in the video. So we take those. It was so hard.
Yeah,
though I think it was. I'm not gonna lie. I think it's edited. I think because the clip that they took was the one that I was where I was doing endurance. Because there was different types.
Right.
There was the one where you have to just basically keep at a similar level for like 3 minutes.
That's
a time.
Long time.
Long time, yeah. But mine was obviously way lower than Lando's. And then his was more like the pulling one. I think that's the clip they took that part from.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, it was a struggle. My neck was in bits the next
week
day.
Weeks.
Yeah, it was
so bad.
Yeah, it was tough. It's tough. So that's it is true. A crazy lifestyle, a crazy training regime.
I can imagine. Right, shall we wrap up with a little...
A little segmento.
It's not even a word.
It is now.
I'm going to come up with a topic for this one, because I think we touched on it earlier. Okay. So my topic is that the driver that drives for Mercedes in 2025. So I'm going to assign you, Tom, Charles Leclerc.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, nice.
Niren, you're going to get Lewis Hamilton.
All right. 2025,
so you've got, yeah. So you've got to prop that. And I'm going to prop Pascal Wehrlein.
Oh, wow. But, oh, yeah, because the second driver situation.
Nice.
All right, okay.
So, Tom,
you can
start with you.
There.
Yep.
You've got a minute
to convince us two in the world that Charles Leclerc is the right option for Mercedes in 2025. In 3, okay. 2, 1, go.
One of the most talented raw pace driver on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a point to prove. Ferrari have been poor for him. He's not achieved what he wanted. He's going to go in there with a ton of fight. Joining George Russell would mean that they have outstanding talent and pace once more. They'll push each other to move up the grid. They are hungry. They're fighters. They'll probably contribute a lot to the strategy overall as well. Their experience all the way from the beginning to the top is undeniable. and God, I couldn't run for prime minister, could I? let's think about it. Leclerc. Oh, that's a tough one.
Won bare races, qualifying.
Yeah, but
Guru,
handsome. Yeah.
Very, to be fair.
All right, thanks for making my argument for me. That's fine.
Makes music now.
Makes music.
Yeah.
Banging the tunes. Imagine that in the, you know, in the pit.
He calmed people down in the garage as well.
Just I feel like their mix of personalities would bounce off each other well.
Perfect. That's a minute.
That was shocking.
That was all right.
Please don't clip that. Game
that's
over.
That's up to that. That's up to Lewis, mate. Right, okay. Niren?
All right, sensational. What, Lewis?
1 minute on keeping Lewis for 2025.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Now, you thought I was going to say keeping Lewis alongside George Russell, but you'd be wrong. I'm remixing it. We're bringing Charles. This is a collaboration now. We're bringing Leclerc in because they can collab together musically. Think about that joint EP.
Yep.
XNDA, NDNA, A. Combined with Charles Leclerc's pianist's capabilities. Now, listen, Lewis Hamilton is a 7-time world champion, yeah? At the end, we've just literally been talking about how drivers are going to be going on for a lot longer in terms of their regimes, their health, whatever. Lewis Hamilton is showing no signs of getting worse as a driver. Yes, George Russell's been able to take it to him recently, but I think that dynamic works really well. I think having that age and that experience there for George to really build him up. And if you are going to put all your eggs in one basket with George Russell and building him up to be the driver that he can be, having someone as experienced and good as Lewis Hamilton alongside him is the only way to do it.
Fair play. You screamed debate club at school. 100%. That's all I'm saying. Extracurricular activities. Niren was there the whole time.
Till 5 p.m. going home dark outside. Never played pro clubs. I was just there debating instead.
I was playing FIFA and you were just
I was there like, excuse me, this is why we should be doing extra RE.
I don't like uniform.
I want to see you in politics, Niren.
No, he's your
next steps.
That's the next one, mate. So honestly, come on, talk. I'm bringing back Bendy, but
you've
said
you got the chat for it.
If I was to be London mayor, I'm bringing back Bendy buses, bro. That's the first thing that I've got to do.
Throwback. All right, fair enough. Well,
let's go.
You might have put your arguments across well, but this is why it should be Pascal Wehrlein.
Mm.
By 2025, I believe that Mercedes will be competitive. They'll have a car underneath them to fight for a world championship. And by that stage, if they're going to win a driver's title, which is the most important thing, they are going to have to choose a driver. The problem is, yes, Lewis and George, they're very close. You know, time is on George's side. He's in a different stage of his career to Lewis. So I think that, you know, when push comes to shove, if it means either keeping Lewis and missing out on a driver's title because they're taking points off of each other, or dropping Lewis, unfortunately, and bringing in someone who's going to sit in, do a Bottas, be what Bottas was to Lewis, but put all your eggs in George. Because George has already shown he's like at that level.
Putting all your eggs in George.
In them. In George Russell.
That's a different
Pascal Wehrlein.
Crazy.
Ex-Mercedes relationship was a manner, almost got that seat that Bottas got at Mercedes, didn't. He's doing bits in Formula 2 at the minute, has kept himself going. He would slot in nicely as number two. He wouldn't upset George, wouldn't upset the apple cart, and they'd win the 2025 World Championship then.
Oh, see, he was there after at debate club. I left and was like, okay, I'm actually going to go home.
You were exactly.
Some I've had shockers on this sometimes, though, and I like, come on, some of mine have been really bad.
I just chat shit though in mine. My last Vegas car park one was probably
sometimes
mine.
That was good though.
I put you on the spot there. You did well.
I will say, I didn't realise how good at the imaginary piano you were. It was brilliant.
You know, you put it in my head to show. I'm one of them.
Nice little link there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Love that.
Thing is, I know you believe that because you said it earlier, but I feel like you do.
So I'm guessing we need a collaborative vote somehow.
Yeah, well, do we believe what we were saying, first of all? You were allocated Leclerc, I was allocated Hamilton.
I do. My argument was poor, though.
But you believe it.
Believe it or not, it's a different thing.
I think...
I really don't know. It's actually pretty tough, to be honest with you. It's the first time I've genuinely been torn.
I think
if the stars align and if Mercedes have a title competitive car, they can't have two number one drivers. So they have to make a decision.
I don't think it's ever worked out for anyone.
It's fine now because they're, you know, they're third... Yeah, if you're not winning, it's fine because you build up, because that's all that the drivers care about. When it comes to that point, you can't, like Rosberg, Hamilton, it was fine because they were miles clear of everyone else. It didn't matter if they took points off each other, crashed into each other. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be the case now. Yeah, Red Bull already there. Aston Martin are close. Ferrari going to get close. Alpine, McLaren, look at the momentum they're on. Like, maybe by that point, by 2025.
As long as you can guarantee that someone like a Pascal Wehrlein is actually going to be there to be able to help, because what you don't want...
You're right in his contract. It's like, if you want an F1 seat, Pascal, then you have to be number two.
No, but I mean as in like... If
you take that?
If you...
Yeah, you wouldn't miss it.
If you hire someone...
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you probably take it, but like... At times during 2021, I genuinely think Lewis Hamilton... Well, no, I wholeheartedly believe Lewis Hamilton would have won the 2021 World Championship had Bottas performed better. Because there were times where he was on his own up against Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen.
Perez was a huge factor in that championship.
Exactly.
So he was. That's
the point. So
if you were going to get Pascal Wehrlein in and he was just that good enough ability to be a number two driver but also contribute in helping your number one actually win races, because it's all well and good like being a second driver, not getting in the way, but if you're not actually defending from the Red Bulls behind you, or you're starting behind the Aston Martins already, it's one, you're always in a 2v1. You're always like the victim of a 2v1. So that's the only thing I would like be sort of a bit concerned about if I was to go with a designated number two.
Yeah, that would definitely be like a potential. There's no perfect solution. There's always going to be. No.
It's about when Mercedes think they can be competitive to win again. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of comes into. And who knows when that'll be.
And also, I think it's important to Mercedes, especially given what happened in 21, to give Lewis that chance to win an eight.
Yeah.
I think that is important to Mercedes. But I'm just trying to look at it like unemotionally, like driver A, B and team A. You know, like you have to have a number one and number two if you're going to fight for a world championship when it's competitive at the front. Mm-hmm. You have to. So it leaves him in a difficult position. What do you think, Tom? Are you Charles or are you Lewis or
Pascal? Pascal. look, I think, again, for me, it just comes down to when you think Mercedes will be competitive, because is Lewis willing to wait and be part of that project? Because I think he has way more sway over what actually happens than Mercedes do. I think it's like a 50-50 collaborative
thing.
He goes, I agree with that, probably. If he says, I want to leave, I don't trust this process, he's gone. But if he's like, I'm in this and I want to influence it, like Schumacher did with Ferrari a long time ago, mm-hmm. maybe that happens. I think Leclerc is the best bet. I think it's the smartest bet. I think it makes the most sense from a future-proofing perspective. But again, we've talked about Hamilton building that stack of proof and evidence that he's got to just say, I'm here, I can still win. And he's still one of...
I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision.
Toto Wolff is going to have a headache.
I'm glad I'm sat here on the sidelines just having an opinion.
Or does Mick just go... Sorry, just to throw that in there.
Imagine Mick Schumacher just gets the seat.
I feel horrible now.
That would be hilarious.
I didn't even think about Mick. Yeah, maybe he'd be the more likely to.
Well, I don't know.
Be the Pascal.
How he's doing?
Yeah, well, he's. I guess he is more likely to be the Pascal to an extent. But
that was really poor from us, lads.
So all in all, we came with three drivers that could get the Mercedes seat and ended up with four. So I think that's good. That's good.
That's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we've done well.
Enjoy that one.
Good stuff. Yeah, no, Tom. Good stuff.
Thank you so much again, man.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure to be here. It was, class. Good conversation.
Let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok at the moment, which is Tom Pabani. I will be looking at doing a YouTube channel soon. So
called Scuderia.
First video, made the thumbnail for it. It's going to be about Leclerc to Mercedes. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Got to take this and present my argument. I won't be under so much pressure.
You've got longer than a minute, though, for that one, so it's fine.
Yeah, I know. I'll be fine. I'm editing it 1,000 times.
It's because you're short form. Like 30 seconds, you were like, I'm done.
Yeah, literally.
I can't talk for more than 30 seconds.
If I can't tell it in 30 seconds, it's game over. So today is a rarity. So you've got a good one. But yeah, no, really enjoyed it, lads.
Good stuff.
Where can everyone find us? What audio only platforms can they find us?
Well, first of all, if you are audio only, you can listen in on Spotify and give us a 5-star rating. If you did enjoy, if watching on YouTube, then feel free to like and subscribe. Always helps us out, turn notifications on. But next time, we'll be here for the live show. So you'll know when we're live, because it'll be the same time as the race, lads.
Could be sick.
Can't wait, honestly. It's good to actually just get some Formula One back.
Quali and race Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we're here Sunday for the actual race.
Yeah, unbelievable scenes.
I'm buzzing for it.
Additional bonus platforms that we can be found on. Nokia 3310.
just underneath the snake game. You can play it there. That's visual because it's got a little screen.
Duplo.com.
Duplo? What is in the Lego?
I think they look like Duplos over there.
Oh, yeah, on Duplo.
I'm just looking at shit and just naming
it. MSN.
Neonbars.com.
Neonbars.com. Yeah. We are there as well.
We're here, there, everywhere. Thank you all for watching. Watch on TikTok as well, little clips. Clipperoonies. And we'll see you on Sunday for the race for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Real banger in a bit.
Bye.